Predator, Aladdin, RoboCop, Rambo, Harry Potter, Jurassic Park, and Ghostbusters. That's just to name a couple of the games based on movies that we've seen since gaming began. But many hundreds more just wait out there ready to delight in siphoning your money with a tantalizing name that connects it to some beloved series, but then, you know, ends up being Aliens, Colonial Marines. Very few of them turn out to be as Chronicles of Ridiculously Good as Punisher on PS2. Yeah, you heard me. I actually dug that game. But Ghostbusters was good for a different reason. The plot and the story were basically a sequel to the title, and they did an excellent job furthering the fiction. It was solidly in the middle when it came to gameplay, but offered something that only Chronicles of Riddick and a couple others did, and that's a full expansion to the movies with the original voice actors. Ghostbusters was announced many months ago. It was easy to see why some gamers, especially those who had seen the original movies, were excited. Let's see if they had good reason to be. Ghostbusters is out Friday the 4th for $29.99 for the Switch, PS4, Xbox, and PC. As always, if you like the video, maybe subscribe, hit the notification bell, or go out there and find somebody you've watched many times and just forgot to subscribe to them and hit the subscribe button on their channel. Graphics are up first. So this is definitely up-resed. You can certainly tell it. I own the original, and that's something that you can see right away. It adds support for some anti-aliasing as well. And some work has definitely been done to the engine, but Ghostbusters is not going to confuse anybody and make them think this is a brand new game in today's ecosystem. While the higher resolution on the PC, I gotta say, is a godsend when it comes to the textures and some of the overall effects, think a little bit of the Ezio collection for Assassin's Creed, except this time there's some actual reason to do it. That's not to say it looks bad. In particular, there are times where it really does look excellent. For example, when you're standing next to Egon and he starts spouting off spirits in Tobin's spirit guide, where you're fighting some porkers dead spirit into a capture device, or for example traveling around some of the interiors that we see from the original movies. Again, very good for an older game remaster. It's not going to wow you with impressive interaction in the worlds, but it does what it can, like a huge battle against pissy Civil War spirits who seem bent on reenacting the war between the North and the South, and somehow you got caught right in the middle of the compass. There's one thing the game does well, and that's the effects and the set pieces and just the overall look of all those characters interacting. Especially like when you're fighting off the Marshmallow Man and you're on the side of a building and you're shooting him in the head with your proton pack. That is all excellent stuff. It looks really good at those times, color-wise and just thematically. Everything's put together in a nice set to make you feel, once again, like you are in a playable movie. However, when looking at the characters and the animations, the game does demonstrate its age. It's got some rocky animations for hits and falling and just interacting with the environments. I do like the almost Sims 4 look to the Ghostbusters, though, and I was surprised to see how much facial expression and emotion the actors could portray, even compared to current games, like Ghost Recon Blandpoint and their ironed-out faces. You really do have to go into this game reminding yourself it is a remaster. It is not a remake. This isn't a ground-up rebuilding of every single asset in it. And that couldn't be more important, especially when you're watching the in-game movies. They have issues with lip-syncing and the same issues with what I would say is just really rough overall renders of the characters, and that continues here. When it comes to the environments, though, many are somewhat basic compared to what we're expecting now, especially when you consider this is over a decade old, I would say it looks pretty good with what they had. But of course, if it doesn't run well, no one's going to give a crap, so let's talk about performance. My time was spent with the PC version. While it does have a couple settings for graphics, sadly it's locked down to only borderless with no true windowed option. I found online that the older PC version does allow for this, but I didn't mess with the INI file because this is what a consumer's going to get. This may not be an issue for some people, but it is worth mentioning. When it comes to performance itself, Ghostbusters runs incredibly well, even on a 1070, a 1080p, or 1440p. With a couple settings here and there. Of course, there's only a couple settings you can actually adjust, and you can get that running at 60 or above FPS. I do wish there were more settings, especially being stuck with FXAA for your anti-aliasing. That's like having to wear your grandmother's glasses to a reading class. It may be better, but chances are it's going to look like a blurry mess, and here, it definitely is not the best implementation. When it comes to remasters, there's all kinds of different expectations. I think with a title this old, especially a decade later, what we get is sort of what we can expect without somebody spending a ton of money to rehire the actors and get all new source material. You have an up-resing of the content, especially noticed in the environments and the characters, but it's still a bit hit and miss with those cutscenes, and in particular, the lip-syncing. And that brings us to sound, music, and voice.
Seriously.
Stings like the Dickens, too. Hey, how come this mump gets all the new stuff?
Give him full screen!
He's right, rookie. Your health insurance doesn't begin for another 89 days. minis. How many can he generate?
From 200,000 square feet of solid marshmallow? Probably 60.
So let's cover sound first. This is the place where the original game rocked, and so does this, using source sounds from the movies. The first time you light up a ghost with a proton pack, if you're not a fan, it doesn't matter. It's going to put a smile on your face. That is awesome. Or the first time you hear the spin-up of some unbelievably powerful backpack on your back and the crackle of that proton beam. Very cool. As are the various movie-based sounds of many of the ghosts you face and the environments, especially those from the original movies. Good sound. That brings us to music. So this is right from the movie, so it's awesome. Many of the tracks from the original movie score make it here, which is why you didn't hear me play much during the section, because I didn't want to get a copyright restriction. But safe to say, they are incredibly high bit rate versions of these. The moment you hear Ray Parker Jr. belting out the Ghostbusters main theme, it's awesome. All the music is very good, but what's even more noticeable is the subtle music that's in between, not the big bombastic elements that we've seen from the Ghostbusters movies and we pick up on as their main themes, but more melodic tones, more overall atmospheric tones that really work well to mend the action elements with more investigative ones. And that brings us to voice. And you know a game's going to be special when the actors basically call it the unofficial third movie, and yes, that includes whatever abomination the remake movie was. I'm pretty sure that thing should be considered a fucking war crime. Here, though, you have everyone reprising their roles from the movie, including side characters like Janine and others, and this works to really solidify the title as a true sequel, as I said before. And it's almost instantly noticeable the difference between a plot in a video game written by people who just write video games and sometimes people who write movies. There's a more solidified plot here, and something about it just feels excellent. It's crafted to a high degree, and you can certainly tell that in the voice actors and how they deliver everything. I know some people thought Bill Murray appeared to be like lackadaisical about his delivery, but to me, Bill Murray is one of those people who would probably have his heart slowed down if you injected him with adrenaline. It's fine. His sarcastic attitude, Winston's more down-to-earth moment-to-moment dialogue, and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis's childlike excitement and scientific explanations, respectively, hit the mark. Most of the time, it feels like they are all in the same room. This is also helped by a very good plot for the game that starts out in known territory, but then veers off a bit as you progress and, in a way, does mimic what you would expect from a third act. Now, speaking of progressing, let's talk about how you do it, and that's gameplay and a bit about the story. So you play as Ghostbuster number 5, sliding into the new guy role. You don't even have a name and you never talk. Escalating supernatural events are happening around some of the past locations visited by the movies originally, and you head out to see what's causing the supernatural ruckus. Now, Ghostbusters is from a bit of a simpler time. It's a third-person shooter, it's got no cover mechanics at all, and a jump button that, well, let's just say I've seen demolition balls get more vertical lift. You go from location to location investigating supernatural occurrences and trapping ghosts using your proton pack. However, Egon has made some significant additions to the pack, and smartly enough, the game actually slowly doles those out as upgrades in the gameplay moments, making it feel a little bit like past experiences are teaching the team what they'll need. For example, not only can you use the proton pack, but you also have a slime thrower to close dimensional doors, also find hidden objects in the game, and damage bad guys. Add to that, you can get a beam that slows down enemies and has a secondary shot that basically is an energy shotgun, which is good for the up-close and personal moments. As you wreak absolute havoc, you can make money from collecting ghosts and have a number of upgrades you can buy, from less recoil on the gun, better ghost traps, and slowing the heat buildup on the backpack, which is incredibly useful, as well as a number of others. One in particular is the slam trap. So when you're fighting ghosts, you have to damage them until you've sucked them dry of their spirit juice. And trust me, the less you think about that sentence, the better. Once you do that, you can trap them. Now, this involves what's basically a ghostly fishing game, with you trying to drag them over the trap you dropped and holding them there to be contained. However, you're also able to grab items with a proton pack, and that also means ghosts. And when you do, you can slam them down, hitting a button to do larger amounts of damage to them, or in the case of the slam trap, trapping them instantly without a prolonged fight. Depending on the difficulty you choose, this can be a godsend, especially as the game has no problem throwing a number of enemies at you at one time. I won't say fighting ghosts on this game is some kind of perfectly tuned system, though, but it works. On your pack, you also have readouts for your health and pack energy, meaning there isn't really a HUD to get in the way of the action. Also, when you switch out the weapon type, it transforms the backpack, which helps a great deal, so you don't have to remember which one you've switched to in a deep battle. If you get hurt, any of the others can save you, and vice versa. If you're all down, though, it's game over and you have to start from a checkpoint. And you will probably end up doing that, because like the original, especially on the higher difficulty, the game does have some spikes severely in the difficulty. For example, there's a spot where you're in another dimension fighting off books, because as we all know, reading's bad, and getting past them can be wickedly difficult. There are also a couple encounters that will have you throwing up your hands wondering why it seems like all the ghosts are just picking on you. When not fighting, you're investigating using your PKE sensor to interact with the environment. You find hidden objects, hidden doors, take readings from enemies for your Ghostbusters grimoire, and basically channeling as much of the original movies as you can. Now, when it comes to the length of the game, it's about 7 to 9 hours, but I have to say, despite the graphical issues, those are 7 to 9 hours of a game that harkens back to a beloved series, and it does its absolute best to embrace a new medium, in this case, of course, games. The story is very sound, and the delivery of the plot is great, and the inclusion of so many of the returning cast does nail everything, and it makes you feel like you're playing a movie. Especially when you're burning that fat, smug face off the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man while hanging off the side of a building like the world's most heavily armed window washer. Here's the thing, though. Is it fun? Well, that brings us to fun factor. Nothing in Ghostbusters gets in the way. It just is what it is. It's a solid sequel to a movie, but in game form, with a plot that was actually assisted by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. And it works. It works in many ways as a third-person shooter. It's just a bit slower and definitely more cinematic. Running through the museum and having some ghostly librarian continue to shush you and hearing Dan Aykroyd lose his shit after like the fifth time of being told to be quiet is epic. And while not required to have seen the movies prior, I would say that if you haven't, you will be missing a bit of the juice in this squeeze, so you may want to get a chance to do that. And while you can run around the fire station and talk to Viggo's painting, which I was pretty sure was actually destroyed in the second movie, or listen to Janine tell people off for delivering too much dragon's blood to the office is awesome. They aren't massive additions, but they are fun momentary distractions before you dive back into the game proper. Sadly, it's not all perfect. The original 360 and PS4 versions had a robust multiplayer, while the original PC version didn't, and again here, we're also lacking that. To say that's a huge gap is an understatement, but since the original didn't have it, and for some reason I'm sure I'm not grasping, it fucking sucks. Also, there's no real replayability here. It makes sense for what they're doing. If the multiplayer had been here, it would have helped that, but it's not, and you certainly do feel it. So as you guys know, I rate games on a buy, wait for sale, rent, or never touch it again rating system, with rent being replaced by deep, deep sale on PC. Now, the game has some problems, and I want to talk about these before I give that rating. I have to say a couple things here. One being that the remastered version is coming out, but there's a PC version already available on Amazon for like $9.99. There's also the Xbox 360 version, which is backwards compatible on the Xbox. That leaves this remaster in a very weird place. Graphically, it absolutely looks and runs better. But the problem is this really does fall into the bare bones remastering that we've seen from some other games, and that also means there's a bit of an issue here. It's not a beloved series like, let's say, an Assassin's Creed or something like that. It is a very old game that's a third-person shooter, and it doesn't have the best mechanics, but it does have a cool plot. Unfortunately, that plot is connected to a movie that's over 2 decades old, again, ignoring this last one. So that definitely does hurt it. So for me, I'd say this is a wait for a sale. I did like what was there, but that's a lot of money to be asking for people when there's other ways to get the basic game. But that's a heavy price to pay for a title that I'm not 100% sure a lot of people are actually going to even really know exists. Additionally, when it comes down to it, it is a fairly basic title. It really does feel like a game based in the time it was made. There's not a lot of quality of life kind of improvements in it. And in the end, there's not a lot of reasons to go back, and I can certainly feel like a lot of people will look at this and just go, oh, this is a quick cash grab. I don't necessarily feel that way, but I do feel that $30 is a lot to be asking. So anyway, that's it for me. I hope you guys liked the video. If you did, give it a thumbs up. If you didn't, give it a thumbs down. Maybe check out Reddit, Twitter, or you can always become a patron on the Patreon website, which helps me give you guys reviews that aren't 2 minutes long or filled with sponsored bullcrap. Peace out, and enjoy the rest of your week.